As we prepare our hearts for worship, would you hear these words of hope? Hope is the theme of the first Sunday of Advent from Lamentations chapter 3. The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Would you pray with me? And so, living God, whatever it is that we've carried into the room this morning that weighs heavy on our hearts, whatever it is that has made us weary, restless, afraid, we lay it at your feet and cling to these words of Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and your mercies are new every morning, this morning. And you are faithful to us, O God. And so we are a people of hope. Hope that whatever is weighing us down can be lifted through the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Hope that we can be a people who sing out songs of joy, even in a season where it is getting increasingly darker. Hope that our worst days are not our last days. Hope that all of our regrets can be used to tell a story of your goodness when we put them in your hands. We are a people of hope. And so we have come to worship you, O God, together because you are the source of this hope. Would you have your way among us this morning? And would you be honored as we worship you in this place? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. But there will be no gloom for those who are in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. Would you pray with me? And so, living God, our living hope, we turn to your word now because our hearts long to hear from you, our wonderful counselor, our mighty God. Would you use your word and your spirit among us to bring to light those parts of our hearts that need to be laid before you? Would you show us the path to walk to be closer to you? Would you give us the courage for the living of these days that we might be a people of hope? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Christmas is the one time of year that we all seem to actually be singing the same songs together. 12-year-olds and 92-year-olds, the same for at least a few weeks. Songs about hippopotamuses and grandma getting run over by reindeer and jingle bells. And more importantly, songs about a little town of Bethlehem and a manger and a silent night and this child that is worthy of adoration. Our songs tell the story of the season. And when you begin to read through the pages of Scripture, you realize that the Scripture story is often told through song as well. It seems that God knows that songs do something within us to shape us, to guide us, to help us remember. And so this Advent, we're going to put some of our songs of the season next to the Scripture songs of Christ coming. And the hope is that we will leave this place each week with some kind of a song in our own hearts that will help us make room for Christ to make his home among us in a new way this Christmas. Today's song is really just one line of a song. A thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices. Have you ever been weary and came across a thrill of hope? I remember whenever I lived overseas for a couple of years, one night my friends and I thought it would be a good idea to go camping in the Sahara Desert. We were in our 20s. You do things like that in your 20s. And it was a great day, but that night was the coldest night of my life. My body was shaking. By about 3 a.m., I was weary of being freezing cold and not getting a wink of sleep. And that very first glimmer of sunshine, the thrill of hope, we're going to make it out of the desert alive. One of my friends from high school, I've been following her on Facebook, and her mom has been going through a long journey battling cancer. And she's in desperate need for a new liver if she has any shot at life. And I've been watching weeks by weeks as her story has become one where she is getting weary. Her body is becoming weaker and weaker. And she just got word last week, your liver is ready. A thrill of hope. We've been watching the news for over a year now. The war between Israel and Palestine. Just this relentless bombing day after a day since October of last year. And you got to know they're weary of the violence. We are weary of the violence. And just last week, we began to hear talks of a ceasefire perhaps being agreed upon by both sides. A thrill of hope. For some of you, it had been a long time since you had heard from your adult children. You wonder why they aren't calling, weary from the heartbreak. The phone rings, that thrill of hope. There was that long stretch where you were barely making it financially, counting every penny, weary of always wondering if it was going to be enough. And then you get the interview for the job that'll ensure that you're going to be okay. The thrill of hope. The people of Israel, it had been 400 years since they had heard from God. Their prophets had quit speaking. There was nothing coming down from heaven, and they were weary. Missing the very thing that had made them, them. They were the people of God, the people that the living God spoke to and that God led and that God loved. And they had to have wondered over those 400 years, would their God ever return to them? Or had they messed up so badly that he was just going to be gone forever? And there in this prayer room in the temple, This man named Zechariah stands interceding for the people of Israel. And here he sees an angel of the Lord who says, "Fear not, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. You will have a son, and he will prepare the way for the Lord's coming." God's not done with us. A thrill of hope. Anyone weary this morning? Looking for your thrill of hope. Lean in, my friends, because I have come to bring good news. Isaiah 9 is a song that is written 700 years before Jesus comes. It is a song that is sung right in the midst of darkness and strife. As Isaiah writes these words, Assyria, the nation to the north, is wreaking havoc on Israel. They have taken the Israelites into captivity again. They're being oppressed again. The people of Israel are in chains again. Life is hard. They are in a dark place. And in this dark place, the prophet Isaiah is reminding God's people that they have a choice to make. Will they turn to their God, or will they do things their own way as they try to navigate this darkness? It turns out all these years later, it's a choice that we still all face when things get tough, do we not? When we are the ones who are weary, do we turn to our God, or do we make our own path, relying on our own wits, turning to our preferred methods of numbing the pain? We see in Isaiah chapter 8, verses 19 to 20, the choice that the people of Israel made in their distress. The chapter before, Isaiah says, "Now if people say to you, 'Consult the ghost and the familiar spirits that chirp and mutter,' surely those who speak like this will have no dawn. They will pass through the land greatly distressed and hungry. And when they're hungry, they will be enraged and they will curse their king and their gods." Isaiah is giving the warning, saying, in this dark place, Israel, many around you are consulting not God, but mediums and other spirits to try to find their hope. And the prophet says, there is no dawn for them. There is no dawn if you're not looking for light from the giver of light. And he says, many around you are hungry, and in their hunger, they are beginning to curse God. There is no hope, he says, when rather than bow before heaven, we're shaking our fist at heaven. He says, choose your own way, or choose God's way. But we find that the people have already chosen their own way. When God offers his people light, time and time again, they choose to walk in darkness. I mean, these were the people of Israel, for crying out loud. These were the people of the Torah, the people of the book. They knew their story. They knew how to find God's wisdom, even especially in hard times. They knew that the source of life was Yahweh and Yahweh alone. They knew. And there they are, mad at heaven because things are not good. There they are, knocking on the psychic's door, hoping to find something there that the living God cannot give them. And they knew better. They were the people of God. When God gave his people the way to walk in the light, they chose to walk in darkness. And we would say, those darn Israelites. Except, I know that I do it too. Do you? When I get weary, too often I find that my first response is to blame God for what's hard. Shaking my fist rather than bowing my head. I know that posture all too well. When I get weary, I begin not to go to the psychic store, but I begin to scroll on Facebook for way too long and watch way too many episodes of Pawn Stars. And take a trip to Target, just anything to numb the weariness for a moment, rather than actually seek real light in the midst of it. This last year, we all got weary, did we not? From the political mess around us. It wasn't just this last year. It felt like it was like a 3-year-long campaign period. And we had this time of fear tactics and name calling and endless ads and neighbors turning against neighbors. I got weary. And my friends, I found that in my weary places, I was tempted to judge others who thought differently than me, just as the culture around me was doing. I was no better. In my weariness, God has shown me the way to live in the light, and yet time and time again, I choose to walk in darkness. Is it just Israel? No, it's me too. Is it just me? Maybe, but you can hang out for 20 more minutes. Hopefully, but it's not just me. Weariness drags us into the darkness. Enter the song of Isaiah 9. As much as his people keep choosing darkness, God refuses to let them remain in that place. And I love that. Verse 1 of Isaiah 9 in the NIV translation starts with this most powerful word. The entire chapter with this beautiful vision of this son who's been given starts with this most powerful word, nevertheless. This follows the passage of they were going to the mediums and the other spirits and they were enraged at heaven. Nevertheless, those people who are being oppressed by the Assyrians, those people who are weary from the abuse, those people who are enraged at God, those people who are seeking out mediums, spiraling into deeper and deeper darkness by the day. Nevertheless, God had something else in mind for them, a thrill of hope. In our darkest days, even when we have caused the darkness, we have a God who says, nevertheless, this isn't the end. I refuse to let you stay in the darkness. My friends, I would give anything to have time this morning. You're like, thank God she's not doing this. It would be take all day. But I would love it to take time this morning to go around the room, like one person at a time, and get to hear a snippet of your nevertheless God story. Because we've all got one. We've all got one. When we were the ones who were weary as could be, and nevertheless, God gave us hope. What is your nevertheless God story? I know there would be at least one in this room that would say, when my marriage fell apart, I fell apart with it. Nevertheless, God wasn't done yet. When my loved one died, I died with them. Nevertheless, God still had it in his mind for me to live. When that dream was crushed, I swore I would never dream again. Nevertheless, God's got this dream stirring in me and I don't know what to do with it. I left behind a wake of people that I had hurt. So many regrets, thought I would never hold my head up again. Nevertheless, God said, I can make those relationships new. What is your nevertheless God story? What is your thrill of hope that came to you in a weary season? What is that glimmer of light that found you in your darkness? What was that time in your life, that season that you put a period on and you said, this is how this story is going to go? And God said, oh no, that's not a period. That's just a comma. And I've got more in mind for you. I've got more in mind for us. Let's keep going. Our God refuses to let his people remain in the darkness. This is the thrill of hope. Isaiah 9 verse 1 says, there will be no more gloom for those in distress. In the past, Zebulun and Naphtali, it says they were two cities that were humbled, embarrassed, shamed. But in the future, it says, God will bring honor to this land, which is in Galilee. Now, Galilee is a foreign place. Galilee is seen as backwards, as dangerous. It is not a Jewish place. Jewish people did not look well upon Galilee. It is not where the people of God hung out. It's a place that the holy people looked on with shame. Galilee. We don't know any places like that. God says, I will bring honor to that land. And guess who made their home there 700 years later? Matthew chapter 4, verse 13. Leaving Nazareth, Jesus went and lived in Capernaum, which was in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. God himself made a home in Galilee. This place of shame became a place of great honor because God wasn't done writing Galilee's story yet. God refuses to let his people remain in darkness. Is anyone in this room stuck in the spiral of shame this morning? Do you keep hearing those voices that tell you that you are unworthy of love? A thrill of hope. God moves into those places like Galilee and makes his home there and brings honor to Zebulun, to Naphtali, to you, to me. Verse 2, those in darkness will see a great light. Verse 3, a people in despair will find joy. Verse 4, a people in chains will be set free. And verse 5, a people who have been victims of violence will know peace. My friends, this right here, these four verses of Isaiah, this is the message that our world needs to hear from the church. This is it, not a message of shame. You notice that? As the church takes on the role of moral police, that's wearisome. They don't need it. Not a message of doom and gloom as the church tries to scare people into salvation. That's wearisome. They don't need it. Not a message of who we're against. That's wearisome. They don't need it. Not a message of the church intermarrying with political power and advancing the kingdom by force. That is not where a weary world is going to find any glimmer of hope. Because we know, because we are them, everyone is tired of the shame and the fear and the political games. A weary world is looking for a reason to rejoice, and we have that reason. We, the people of God, proclaim the good news that we really do have a God who refuses to let his people stay in darkness. We really do have a God who brings light to a weary world. This really is a God who refuses to let despair win the day, but he brings joy to weary souls. This really is a God who cannot stand seeing his children in chains, and so he brings freedom to weary slaves. This really is a God who hates violence, always has and always will. And so he brings peace to a weary, war-torn world. We have a God who daily injects hope into impossible situations. That is the message that we need to proclaim. is that the God that we are speaking of? Is that the message that we are speaking to our own weary hearts and to our weary world that's all around us? It is the one that we all need to hear again this Christmas. We have a God who refuses to let his people stay in the dark. How? How does God do this? How does he inject hope into these impossible places? Verse 6, for to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You see, only Jesus has the power to push back the darkness in our world and in our hearts. This God of light who won't let us remain in darkness chooses to enter the darkness with us, to live in that weary place with us until Jesus overcomes the darkness once and for all. 700 years after Isaiah penned these words, Jesus walked on this very earth and said, come to me, all who are what? Weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. A thrill of hope. There is one who can and actually wants to hold our weariness in his hands. Jesus alone pushes back the darkness. A Samaritan woman who is living in shame, hiding out at a well at noontime, purposely avoiding anyone, meets the Wonderful Counselor, Jesus, who listens to her and, knowing everything about her, assures her that she is seen and she is known and she is only ever loved. And her shame is buried at that well, and she leaves that place in honor, ready to tell the good news. I have met Jesus, and he alone pushes back the darkness. Wonderful Counselor has arrived. A woman who's been bleeding for 12 years and it says she has gone to every single doctor in town touches Jesus's robe and is healed in an instant. And Mary and Martha, they run to Jesus when their brother Lazarus has died. And he comes and says, Lazarus, get out of that grave. These women encountered the mighty God who overcomes the pains of sickness and of death. Jesus alone, mighty God, pushes back the darkness. Zechariah had been praying his entire adult life for a child. He's an old man now, and that dream has all but died. And still he's in a place of prayer, interceding on behalf of the people of Israel. And there the angel comes and says, Zechariah, God has heard your prayers. Your everlasting father is going to give you a son who will prepare the way for the one who is coming, whose throne will never end. Everlasting Father Jesus has come, and Zechariah's buried dreams are resurrected because Jesus alone pushes back the darkness. And in the garden on that night of his arrest, they come at him with swords. And Peter pulls out his sword, ready to play that same worn-out game. Violence begetting violence. And Jesus says, put it away, Peter. A new kingdom has come. The Prince of Peace is here. Jesus alone pushes back the darkness. You see, we've got a God who refuses to let us remain in darkness, even when we choose it ourselves. And what does he do about it? He gives us a son, the light of the world, to step into our darkness and push it back in a way that only he can do. A thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices. What's the invitation this first Sunday of Advent? What do we do, a people who walk in darkness? bring all of your weariness from the darkness out there and from the darkness in here to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. These next 4 weeks, spend more, not less, more time sitting in the presence of the wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Don't try to numb the weariness by just running harder and binging more and laying in bed a while longer. But name it and proclaim to it, weariness, hear this. I know a God who refuses to let his people stay in darkness. And I have a Jesus who is in this weary place with me. And this Jesus has the power to push back everything that tries to bring my spirit down. A thrill of hope. Jesus has told the weary to come to him. This Advent, will you come to Jesus like never before? That's the invitation. Just come to Jesus like never before. He is the thrill of hope. Don't miss it. I tell you, the rest of our culture will run right past him. And they will get to December 26th as weary as can be and broke. But not us. We will cling to the light of the world. For he alone can push back the darkness. He alone has the power to turn a weary world upside down. And his name is Emmanuel, which means he is with us. All we got to do is return the favor and just be with him. A thrill of hope. A weary world rejoices. Would you pray with me? Oh, living God, thank you that though we choose the darkness, you refuse to let us remain there. But instead, you bring us a son, the giver of light, and you enter the darkness with us, and you push it back for us. Thank you, Emmanuel, that you have come to be with us this Advent. Could we come and be with you? Could we lay our weariness at your feet and let hope arise in every part of our being? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.